that go. The enemy wants to steal what you young people enjoyed, what the worship teams enjoyed. And I want to just pray a prayer for you, because in Glasgow, there was a season where three times a year we had a whole night of worship. Yeah. One or two of you may have come along to some of those events where we just had worship teams going all night. And I tell you, the beneficiaries with the church, for the next 2 months, we had open heaven in our services. And I know, I remember coming to some nights here many years ago where we were just worshipping Jesus. Yeah. Something happens. You know, yeah. I would probably say, and particularly, obviously I'm not so young now, but for you young people, the devil will try and steal that off you. You've got to fight to keep that fire that God's put on. You said you came back with fire. Keep the fire burning. Yeah. And we want to pray for that. But for those who are in the worship, the devil hates worship, you know. Yeah. He used to be a worship leader. I would say without a single doubt, the biggest blessing in most churches would be the worship team, and vice versa, the biggest problem in most churches is the worship team. Because the devil gets in. And ego, the devil had ego, edging God out. And there's such a battle that goes on to keep magnificently flowing in the spirit, but to keep your heart humble when God's using you in amazing ways. And sometimes the devil can just make you sometimes think it's you, and you're daft enough to believe him. And I know as a preacher, as I've traveled the world and had the joy of traveling the world, sometimes people say some very nice things to you. But I have to always remember that I'm the amateur who took the hands of the professional dancer nearly 50 years ago. December the 8th, 1968, I said yes to Jesus, and a bit like Strictly Come Dancing, he's been dancing me along the dance floor of life, and he's been making me look good, because he's the professional, and we're only the amateur. So, Father, I just pray a sealing prayer on all of the great things that are happening for this church. I just thank you for the young people, and I pray, Lord, that they will become not just on fire in their teenage years, but when they hit their 20s, when so many people make life choices that they regret. I pray that you'll keep them in their 20s, and Lord, that they'll keep flowing in Jesus. For the worship people that went, I just pray, Lord, that the worship was good today, but I just pray, Lord, that it's nothing that we're going to see in the next few years as heaven opens over Edinburgh, and particularly over these new seats. Amen. Amen. Don't you like your seats? I didn't know the colour of your seats. It must be prophetic that I've actually put a shirt on that is exactly the same colour. You know, since you've been in this church, whenever I've preached, it's been like talking to talking heads. You could be knitting. You could be knitting, or you could be passing. No one can tell anything you're doing. All you could see was these heads. And I just think, I don't think I've ever seen your church look as nice in any of your manifestations of churches that you've been in over the 28 years I've been coming along to this place. I've never seen it look so nice. And it's great to see some new people who I do not know. That's always a great sign. It's great to see old friends, but it's wonderful to see people who haven't got a clue who you are. And for some of the girls, I've already had to disavow them that I'm not George Clooney. I only look like him. There's a lying spirit just entered the room. But you know, in life, and one of the things that, and today I want to talk to you in just a minute, I'm going to invite Margaret to come forward. I want to talk to you about facing your fears. I've been a Christian nearly 50 years. I would say my first issue I can ever remember as a child was my dad was always quite ill. And he had mental health issues, and he used to threaten to kill himself on almost a weekly basis. And I can remember as a child, I somehow picked up fear. And my mum would come into my bedroom about when I was to be about 5 years of age, and I'd be in tears. And she'd say, "Kevin, what's the matter, darling?" And I'd just burst, "I don't want to die!" That's just to keep the people on the back awake there who were nodding. I can see you at the back there. So they were there by 9 o'clock. They got that row, so no one could get their row before them. But I'm watching. But, you know, fear has been something that I've had to face all my life. And I felt for 20 years, I've been preaching around the country about fear. But 2 years ago, something happened that really brought about some anxiety and issues. I'm going to share that with you in a minute from the scripture. And I've had to go back after 20-odd years of talking about the Father, heart of God and all the love of God. I had a circumstance happen. In fact, it was 2 years ago this month that really affected my life. And I want to just read a passage of scripture to you, a bit of a psalm. Psalm 34, verse 1 to 7. I believe the word, it may come up here behind me. If I get boring, just look at the pictures. Psalm 34. We get a clue why this psalm was written in the... Sometimes you get a bit of writing above the psalm. And it says here, it's a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. And do you know where he went to? He went to a cave. And he went to live in the cave of Adullam. And there he was frightened because whatever fear you may have a fear of death. I had a fear of death. I had a fear of strong men. Strong women never bothered me until I got married. No, strong women have never been an issue to me. I can face strong women in church. I can stare them in the eye. But I had an issue for many years of strong men. Strong men would make me crumble. A big issue. And the Bible says a fear of man is a snare. But those who trust in the Lord shall be saved. And I've realized in my almost 50 years, every now and again, I've got to go back to some basics. Because the Bible says 366 times in one form or another, the most repeated command in the Bible is fear not. Do not be afraid. Some people talked about getting out your comfort zone. Put that in other words, it means facing your fears and doing something you've never done before. And if you start to sing prophetically, how will people receive it? Because that fear of man and how you judge each other is such a big issue that you think in life. But I don't think anybody, no matter how tough your life is, you wouldn't have been in the situation that David was in. Here's why he was afraid. 30,000, that's a lot of people. 30,000, it was more people than at the Hearts Hibs match. By the way, I looked at the crowd scenes and I thought I saw Alan throw a coin. I'm not saying it was Alan. Please don't repeat it, but he's not here this morning, so I can only assume they may have picked him up and he aimed it right at Neil Lennon, bless him. But no, he didn't. No, he didn't. It wasn't Alan. I'm fibbing. His wife just said, he's not in jail. But 30,000 people under King Saul have said, I want you to go and search everywhere you can, and I want you to find David, and when you find him, you must kill him. Yeah. So this man, when he left, pretended to be insane, and he's heading in a cave, in his heart and his mind, every single day could be his last day. Every single moment in the cave could come hundreds of men with spears and swords, and they were going to kill him, take his head off, and absolutely that's a tremendous fear to live under every single day. Yet, in the midst of that, he wrote these words. And I want to share, if I can, through a personal testimony in just a moment. It says this. Here's a man who's afraid. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted, now remember, he's afflicted. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Next phrase. And he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. When you suffer with fear, shame is a close companion, as we will see. Their faces were covered with shame. The poor man called out. Who's the poor man? It's him. He's talking about himself. The poor man called out, and the Lord heard him. And the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. That verse could be interpreted as fears. It's a verse that could mean a lot of anxiety. And that verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, in the next little while, we have to decide, do we believe what the Bible says? Or do the facts of life, the circumstances of a bad report from a doctor, something that causes you angst, because I don't know what it is, but I guarantee almost everybody in this room has something that can cause anxiety and stress and fear in their lives. But we're wonderfully... But before we do that, not very often my wife... People said to me, are you still married? Because we never see Margaret. And this isn't my daughter. She is my wife. I've just taken such great care of her for nearly 40 years. So, Margaret, would you come and just tell us something about the resources that you brought with Christmas coming just around the corner? Don't buy handkerchiefs and socks. Buy some good Christian books.
Fantastic to be here. Can you hear me? Really good to be here. Just to mention the resources very quickly, I just mentioned 3 books. It's in a week's time. It's 100 years since we signed the armistice, and the end of the First World War was over. And if you want to spend this week reading a little bit about what it was like to live in those days, then there's a book on the side there called Family at War. It's actually a devotional book, but it's based around those times. And I love doing family research. It's the story of my great-grandfather and my granddad and his family and how they lived and how 3 of his brothers went to war. 2 of them came back. And it's my great-grandfather came from Italy many years ago, and it's the stuff that he had to face when he arrived here, and the things that he was at battle with disillusionment and mediocrity, and at battle with worry and with heartbreak, and the stuff that he lived through, and how he brought his family up. And the second part of the book is how we battle against those same things as Christians in the war that we fight today, with the things around us that, you know, would be alien to us. And so that's just a devotional book, but it is very much in keeping with the time, you know, this week, the First World War and the end of the First World War. So you'd be reading all about that. This is based on John chapter 4. It's called The Well and the Woman. And it's a story of the woman at the well. And I use my imagination in writing this and to think, how did the lady who met Jesus get to the point where she was in her life by the time she met Jesus, that she'd been married 5 times and the guy she was with wasn't a husband? How did she get there? And it's her story through my imagination. Some of the little details in the Bible are not mentioned in the Bible stories we read, but this is one way that she could have arrived at that point. And again, it's her story. But again, it's a devotional book, and it's then 9 chapters, devotional chapters, about the well and about your well and keeping it full, and the water of the Holy Spirit and the river of God and things, and all based around water. But it starts with that story. And if you're looking for a Christmas present for someone that's into family research, or a Christmas present for a friend, if you've got a friend that is a dog lover and a God lover, then Great Thoughts from a Little Dog, it might suit them. Or maybe one that is a dog lover, but not yet a God lover. It's a 31-day devotional of little dog stories, and then there's a Christian application at the end of each chapter. But it's about how we need to know God as Father, the advantages of knowing God as Father. You're provided for, you were delighted for, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're helped, you're comforted, you're energized. And the benefits that we get when we really do know God as Father. But also it's written in a way that maybe somebody's still on their journey towards God. Then it's maybe a good way of getting the Bible into their hands. So they are £7 each. They're in the reception area just beyond that door. And again, it's really great to be here today. Thanks.
Amen. For those that don't know, my day job isn't this. My day job is pastoring pastors. I oversee 85 churches about 130 pastors I'm sort of trying to help along the life's journey. 2 years ago, I was making my way to Rill to visit a pastor who had got a bad diagnosis, and he was in his late 70s, retired pastor, and he was basically dying. And I'm about two miles outside Rill. It's a rainy day. You know, a bit like yesterday. I don't know whether you got the rain yesterday in Edinburgh. It poured down in Glasgow yesterday. Absolutely poured down. And roads are wet. It's November. It's getting dark about 4:30. And so I'm just on the outskirts of Rill. I've had a busy day serving Jesus. And I'm coming along the road in my car. And there's a car in front of me that has stopped with its hazard lights on. So I stop, look ahead, see in the distance there is some traffic coming because I can see the headlights. But I pull out and pull back in, and I look up, and there's a white van coming at me very fast. White vans seem to have, if you're a white van driver, you're probably the only one that drives properly. But white van drivers just have, they're almost like taxi drivers. Yeah, yeah. They do what they want, how they want. And he obviously was going too fast. And he put his foot on the brakes and he lost control of the white van. And suddenly the white van changed lanes and came into my lane and came to hit me head on, going at, I don't know, 50 miles an hour. And I can remember as the van came towards me, I remember having a thought, I don't think I'm going to die, but I'm going to get hurt. I remember having that thought. Then he hit me. He tried to swerve, and he hit me sort of sideways on. He flipped into a ditch. Two people were in it, and both of the vehicles were completely wrecked. The ambulance came. They wanted to take me to hospital. They'd got some neck injuries. And the ambulance driver said to me, are you sure you're all right? You should be more seriously hurt. The policeman comes and he breathalyzes me. And I did say, being an Ealing minister, last time I touched alcohol was 1978, but he still said, breathe into the bag, sir. Didn't believe me, so I had to breathe in the bag. And then he said to me, once he realized that there was no trace of alcohol, he said, are you sure you're all right? You should be hurt. I've been to these acts worse than, not as bad as this, and people have died. No, I'm fine. The pickup man comes and takes my car, what's left of it, onto a pickup track, and we're talking in the car, and he's saying, are you sure you're okay? Just check yourself out. Maybe you're in shock, but nothing's... And you see, I've got this thing that, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm going to get on with life, and I phone Margaret, and you see, I know what to do. And so, and I know what, when you've gone through a shock and a trauma, I phoned Margaret and said, please pray the shock and the trauma of the accident off me. Then you've got to forgive everybody. So I forgive this 12-year-old white van driver who looked like he was 12. And you know what he did? On the police report, he said that the man who drove the Passat was 76 years of age. I still forgive him for saying I'm 76. Yes. And, you know, I'm forgiving the birds and the bees. I even forgive whales. I forgive... Sorry, sir. Forgive me. Well, see me afterwards. Blio, see you, boyo. And so I do all the stuff. I get on, go home, hire a car, get on with my job because I'm a busy person, you know, and I'm at the top of my game and everything seems okay. 3 days later, I go to Derby and I pick up the local newspaper, and it said, the headlines were, white van in collision with black Passat. Three people were killed. And I don't know what happened, but I suddenly began a process for the next few months I'm going to share with you and how I got out of it. Because I started to get anxiety issues. I had 1,000 flashbacks of the accident. Always I was dead, laying on the slab with Margaret next to me, sobbing. And it was just nightmare after nightmare. And I just thought, My philosophy of ministry is I don't tell people about my problems till I'm over. Because if all you do is ever tell people your problems, you're a victim. But when you've overcome something, you have a testimony. Yeah. So part of me was keeping quiet because I'm supposed to be the pastor's pastor. I'm the one who travels the country telling people how to cope if you're feeling fearful. Perfect love casts out all fear. I know all of the verses, but the problem came to a crunch when in December, the next month, I'm going to Manchester Airport. I'm going to get on a plane, go to the Isle of Man. I've got three churches in the Isle of Man that I look after when I'm bored. And I'm going to take the pastors out for Christmas dinner. And Margaret's with me, and I start to feel unwell in the car park, getting the car parked. And then I get into the bit where you're queuing for security. And all I can say is I had a full-blown panic attack. And I got tearful, I got sweating, I got overwhelmed. And I went and sat in a corner. We came out of the thing. And I knew something is really wrong. But the devil says, you're the man who tells other people what to do and how to live, and you're not supposed to be one who's still bothered by these things. Yes. And so what I'm sharing with you from the scriptures here is three things. I had to go back to God, and this is a six-month journey I'm sharing with you in 40 minutes. So this is a six-month journey that I went on where I didn't feel, I maybe even preached here during that time, because as pastors you learn to smile, sparkle and be confident and do all the stuff. Yeah. But behind the scenes, behind the curtains of life, I was really struggling. And I found a phrase that really helped me, a quote about anxiety and stress. This quote, forget the person who even it was, it says, there are days when free-floating anxiety is getting the better of me. Does anybody equate with that? You know, you're doing okay, then suddenly you get anxious again.
Sure.
And you think you're okay, you think you're through it, you're okay, that's it now, I'm come behind it, but there's just days when it seems like it floats in from nowhere, and suddenly you're back dying again, you're having the accident again, you're getting stressed and getting fearful to get into a car, and you're feeling, particularly as you're a Christian leader, in my case, I'm feeling like I'm a failure, yeah, and that I'm somehow a fraud telling other people how to live their lives week after week, yet in my own private life, there's this stuff happening that's causing me worry. But I realise that all of us sometimes run towards a cave. Yeah. Sometimes all of us have free-floating anxiety where you go to the doctors and the tests say you've got to go for some more tests. And before you know it, you've picked your hymns. You think you're on the way out. Kids, I know mums who are perfectly sane until they have children. And then they have all these worries and stress all the way through their child for their children. And they just fret and worry all the time about them. Job fears. There are things that come up. And as I say, amongst a congregation as handsome as most of you are, Gordon's not here, so I can't have a bit of a pop at him. But I like Luke's hair. I love the hair. But then we're not going there today. There was a pair of scissors over here, Luke. I don't know whether you're talking about prophetic symbolism and singing. Someone put a pair of scissors. I don't for that bit that comes down. I wanted to just go and do it for you, but it's an old man thing. So share three things with you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Elvin?
Yes.
Three things. That clock's a bit fast.
Yes.
Okay. Three things that really... I'm standing here today and I want to tell you this is historic now. I'm completely 100% free of it.
Praise God.
But I want to share with you... Yeah, we do praise God. But I want to tell you I had to walk through some issues. And I had to apply the word of God, because sometimes we know the word of God. And if you've been a Christian a long time, these verses trot off your lips, but you forget to put them in. It's like worship. The number of times you're worshiping and you're not worshiping, but you're singing songs. Number of times they pass the emblems out. And you're not really reflecting on your week and putting your heart right. You take the communion, and so often when you've done it hundreds of times, it can get blasé. So here's the three things that I felt in this passage. And I prepared this sermon not for Edinburgh, I prepared it for Kevin Pete. Sometimes you have to walk through your own preaching. I thought if I preach about it, I've got a better chance of doing it. And so I went back to God. And here's the three things that I think from this passage. Number one, the thing that I had to do to go back to some basics, I had to, number one, Kevin and Edinburgh and anybody here who's got anxiety and fear issues, bottom line, we have to declare the reliability of God. What is David doing? 30,000 people are trying to kill him. He's just pretended to be insane with spittle coming down his beard and scratching on the walls with his nails. This proud man of God has demeaned himself, belittled himself to escape, and now he's hiding in a cave. And what does he say? I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. What is he saying? Things are bad. Things are tough. Things look awful. There's days when free-floating anxiety is getting the better of me. But he's saying, bottom line, one thing will get me through this. God is reliable, and God has brought me through things in the past, and God will bring me through things in the future. Amen. Bottom line, declare the reliability of God. With all due respect to music, to even to Elim, to everything, all of those things won't help you, but God will. Yeah. It's not knowing about God, it's knowing God. Yeah. It's knowing him as Father. It's knowing him that you really, bottom line stuff. Get to the very bottom line of this. My wife is an amazing, marvelous wife. We've been married 39 years. She's awesome. She's a classical pianist. She writes books. She's the best kisser in Scotland. She's got every gift going. But you know, there are days when she gets out of bed the wrong side, just like I do, and she's not always on top form. God never has an off day. You know, and I had to go back to this. I had to go back. Here's me. I'm a regional leader. I'm supposed to be telling other people. I travel. I do seminars on fear. I do all this stuff. And my private life is falling apart because free-floating anxiety, I keep praying, but it keeps coming back, and I'm still feeling afraid. And Margaret was saying to me months after, I'm driving further to the left. I got to the point when I just didn't want to drive at night time. You know, wanted to get home before it got dark because I didn't want to be out when it got dark because of the glare and all the things that happen. Bottom line, we've got to declare. And you see, when you start to declare, something happens because verse 3 kicks in. He then says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's why worship is so powerful. We've already talked about the worship seminar. Worship isn't just the key of G, major, minor, whatever you play. John, I don't know. By the way, I'd like you to play at the end. Come and play for me in a minute. Just get ready. It's not just a certain song in a certain way. When worship happens, heaven opens. Yeah. And David is saying, here's what I'm doing. I'm declaring the reliability. He's got other disaffected, disheartened people in the cave with him. They're all there. All the dissatisfied, disheartened, dispirited, every D you can think of. They're all there. And he says, I'm going back to basics. The same God who helped me kill Goliath is going to get me out of this mess. The same God that said one day I'm going to be king, and yet there's 30,000 men trying to kill me. That prophetic word makes no sense. Have you ever had a prophetic word that you think is wonderful, but your life then goes in the opposite direction? Yeah. God said this is going to happen. That's really good. But then everything goes south. And your marriage goes, your family goes, stuff happens, and you think, you're finished. Whatever you've got breath, you're not finished. But first thing I had to do, strip away all the religious stuff and go back. You know what? My God is able. My God is able. This is not, I was 62 years of age at that point, been a leader for 30 years, and I had to go back to the basics. Every now and again, it does you good to go back to the basics. So the first thing, declare the reliability of God. You see, the devil's desire for you guys in Edinburgh is your fear to be everything. He wants your fear. Fear of death, fear of being ill, fear of getting old, fear of rejection. You know, whatever it is that drives you, whatever are the back drivers to your life, where that free-floating anxiety. And I've discovered it's not just for older people. Because I was 5 when I first started to get anxious. Those of you who know me well, I had a speech impediment. I used to stutter until I was 17 years of age because of the fear issues in my life. Life was tough. I hated being a teenager. Got so much rejection. You know, when I was this tall at 13, but I was incredibly skinny. Got ribs. Not got ribs for 30 years, but I remember what ribs were like. And all these pretty girls that are here today, they took the rip out of me because I used to stutter and I used to go the colour of a bright red puce when everyone who talked to me. I've been there. Then we got into our 20s and 30s and we got married and Margaret nearly died with a burst appendix and had peritonitis. Tremendous fear comes into your life when things happen to you that are traumatic. So, second thing. So one is declare the reliability of God. Second thing is this, and I hope you'll agree with me, if you have a very high faith message, you probably won't. But we have to declare the reality. The reality. Declare that fear is real. Declare the reality of fear. Verse 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Listen, their faces are never covered with shame. When I was a young Christian, it seemed to me that you were allowed to have a problem, but you always had to have the miracle answer. And sometimes the miracle answer is that the fact you're still standing for Jesus despite the rubbish that's come your way. And it seems to be that in life, my early days, you know, never speak negative. But the truth is, denial is not the answer to deal with your fears. So many people think the answer is denial. And you've probably heard me say before, denial is a river in Egypt. And Christians should have been out there a long time ago. We're told to leave Egypt. Think about it. For those who don't get it, somebody will explain it to you afterwards. It's called witticisms. You see, sometimes we come to churches, and I don't know your church. Sometimes you guys, all of you looking, the back row here, there looks a lot of testosterone on the back row, the back 5 rows there. Not so much over here, sorry. But you know, all men's men. You know, play football, someone kicks you, you kick them back. You feel like your legs drop, but you don't ever admit pain. You stand up, you're playing rugby. I watched the rugby yesterday and I watched England. Sorry for the people, for the joke about the English coming in. I'm sorry about the English. The English are here today. But I can still sing Loch Lomond as well, don't worry. Yeah, Bonnie Banks, Jimmy. I can still do it. I'm watching and they're knocking right at the end. It's amazing. And they get up as though they're not hurt. Then they go in. Then they go home and tell their wives, look at me leg, look at me arm. That's what I did anyway when I was young. And sometimes we've got to be, about 20 years ago, I took what people told me was a risk. About 94, 95, when the Holy Spirit began to really move in great power, I decided I was going to stop being plastic and stop being the perfect minister at the front who has no problems. And I began to tell my church that we were struggling with some issues of our life that have bothered us. And my friends in the midst said, don't ever tell your church about your weaknesses. They'll turn against you. I have found the opposite.
Yes.
I found as I have been more transparent and more open, I found that people have actually responded in a way and say, If you're prepared to say life sometimes is not always wonderful, then it's okay for me to sometimes to do the same. I've got to tell you, all my experience, all my years of preaching and teaching, 2 years ago, I felt shame. Not had that for 10, 15 years, but I felt like I was a failure. You know, guilt says, I've made a mistake. Shame says, I'm a mistake. Big difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is when you do something. Shame is when you think you're the reason. And I just felt like I probably would even thinking maybe I need to stop what I'm doing because I can't misrepresent God to all these people. Because I just felt so wound up. And I remember some years ago, for those who were around in 94 to 96, there was a song that I loved. And the first line was, it's our confession, Lord, that we are weak, but you are strong. And I had a really top-notch preacher, never sing that song. Never, ever confess you're weak. Just never sing it again. That song is awful. But you know, if you look at the Bible, Paul in Corinthians says, my power is made perfect in weakness. I can't say that, can it? My power is made perfect in faith. Now, surely it must say that. What does it also say in Corinthians? When I am weak, I am
strong.
Earth to Mars. There is a strength and a power when we accept that we are weak, but then we turn to his power. For me, this was like, duh. I'm feeling shame. Devil's whispering. You're not a good leader. Good leaders don't have problems like this. Good leaders only say, my leg fell off, but I put the other one on and just went on and won the war. You know, sometimes we get on the front end, shout of this stuff. When I'm weak, I am strong. And can I just say to you, I want to just say lovingly, I've got about 3 or 5 minutes left. Don't be afraid of shame. Shame comes from the devil. And if you're going through some issue of health, you're worried of your children, there's anxiety, part of it is just, it's a real thing that we all go through. And here's the final thing. I need to get a move on. I'm told there's a tank of piranha fish who will eat me at 12:35. So I've got to, oh, thank you. You must come to my services again. I think you're amazing. By the way, never think you're too old. Here's one of my pet theories. Worship teams, if they're going to be truly effective, have got to be all age. This idea that you can only have ripped jeans and earrings. Maybe you've got some ripped jeans. I don't know. But I was in a meeting. Where was I? I was somewhere on the East Coast. And there's this guy with a baritone voice who was singing. And he had to sit down because he was 84. But my word, when he sang, heaven opened. He'd got this rich baritone. I thought, oh, turn those young thin twigs off and let's hear this magnificent baritone voice. By the way, that bit's for free. That's not part of the sermon, but I want to encourage you. We're into all age things. It's like there are some churches in the world that will not allow people who are overweight or over a certain age onto the platform because it's not presenting their image. It's rubbish, folks. It's rubbish. But that's not today's sermon. That's another sermon. Invite me back for that one. Here's the final thing. And for this, I need to thank my wife because I want to share with you something that she had a picture. I think it's in one of her books. And when I was going through this, I went back to her picture, and she had a picture that God took her to heaven, and it was like this gigantic, cavernous place with racks and racks and like a storehouse, above all storehouse. It went on for forever, and she was just praying and saying, what's that, Lord? And she felt the Lord say to her, that's the storehouse of heaven. And that's all the things that I've got for my people that are unclaimed. And she felt the Lord say to her, some people will go to heaven, and when they get there, the Lord will say to them, it didn't have to be quite that bad, because I'd got all of this stuff for you. But the trouble is, you never asked me for it. And she just, John, would you come back onto the keyboard? Just give the people hope, it's coming to an end. If you could play some Facing Fear music, no problem, just whatever. If this next bit doesn't work, it's your fault. So it's not me. So, no, I've known John for when I first came here a long time ago. Thank you. Not the funeral march. You know, and here's were some of the things that Margaret said was in the picture. And I spent 3 months every day asking God to give me these things. And she said that there in the rack, there was my name, Kevin Pete. Kevin Malcolm Pete. Don't tell anybody my middle name, I might have to kill you. Kevin Malcolm Pete. And this stuff there that's got my name on that's still not claimed. And she said that she felt in the spirit there were rolls and rolls of rest. And you see, when you're anxious, you begin to lose sleep. When fear kicks in, sleep gets robbed of you, and you feel angst, not rest. And she said on the shelves there were pots and pots and pots and pots of peace. And you see, again, when anxiety kicks in, peace goes. Then she said there were jars and jars and jars and jars of joy. Have you ever met a happy, worried man? You ever met a happy, worried woman? You see, I'm trying to tell you about me. I learned the plasticity of the outside, but joy had gone. And then she said on there were sacks and sacks and sacks of strength. And every night I prayed, Lord, would you give me sacks of strength to keep going? And the final thing she saw there were cartons and cartons of courage. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for allowing me the joy of being here with you. Probably the most personal sermon I've ever preached in this church. But I'm sharing it as a testimony to the goodness of God. I'm sharing it because this is now history. It isn't now. And I want to just say, as our eyes are closed, for anybody here who is having attacks of free-floating anxiety that seems to be getting the better of you, I want to tell you, this isn't just a nice sermon. This has changed my life. And I've had to go back to basics, and I've had to say, bottom line, God is reliable. Everybody else may let me down, but he won't. And I've had to go back to that. Maybe you're here, you need to hear that. Maybe for some of you, you've been trying to live, not a lie, but because of all of the peer pressure, you've tried to pretend and you've not actually declared the reality of this stuff. And to me, it was a significant step in my getting better, was saying, I have a problem. Yeah. I have a problem. This is affecting my life negatively. And maybe you're there. But the great news today is the resources that had my name on it, those same resources have your name on it.
Amen.
And God does not have favorites. He only has sons and daughters. And I would love to just pray over you. But as our eyes are closed, if you feel that my prayer is you want to claim this prayer, I'm going to pray these resources. If you feel this morning, you know what? I needed to be here because what that guy is saying has affected my last few months of my life or the last year of my life or however long. And there's something about the reality of saying, that's me. So if you're here as our eyes are closed, I'm not going to bring anybody forward. I'm not going to even get you to lift your hand. But here's what I'd like you to do in just a moment. If this is a sermon that you think is applicable to you, I'm going to get you to open your eyes, look at me, and once you catch my eyes, just to close yours again. I've tried to be very transparent with you. God bless you. People are opening their eyes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you. Just close your eyes again. Once God bless you there, I can see you. God bless 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 you there. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there, guys. God bless you. Can you see, once we start to be honest, we realize we're all walking this earth. God bless you. And even those who are in eldership, those who are pastors, we all go through stuff. God bless you. God bless you there. Just close your eyes again. God bless you. I'm going to pray over you. God bless you. If there's anybody I've not got, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you there. What I want to tell you, there are the same resources available to you. Please do not go to heaven and find out that you did not ask God for the resources to get you through this life. I see many eyes. I mean, let's just pray over you now. This isn't a benediction. This is a prayer of declaring the resources of God. And Lord, I know our time has gone, Lord, and I'm sorry for that, but I just really pray in Jesus' name for that. So many people have just looked up and we suddenly realize we're all in this same boat called life. And there ain't one of us immune from free-floating anxiety that sometimes gets the better of us. Despite all of our faith, all of our Bible, all of our experience, there are times, Lord, when this stuff, that's why you tell us 366 times, fear not. That's why you tell us perfect love casts out fear. But Lord, what I want to pray, that picture that Margaret had, and Lord, I heard her preach it several times, and I asked her, could I steal it in its entirety? Because it just changed my life. And so, Lord, I pray for those people here who need to know what it is to rest, where sleep has been robbed them, and even when they're awake, there's a sense of anxiety. I'm praying, Lord, that you'll open heaven, and even as I'm praying, you'll begin to pour in the rolls of rest. Lord, for those who have lost their peace, that your word says passeth all understanding, I pray, Lord, that peace would come back to the family situation. Peace would come back to the health situation. Peace would come back to the university situation. And I pray for pots of peace to be poured out over the Elim Church, Edinburgh. I pray, Lord, for those who've lost their joy, and they may smile on the outside, but they know internally they've lost their joy. Lord, the great thing about your joy, it's a joy that the world doesn't give, and it goes deep. And I pray that you'll pour in the deep jars of joy. And I pray, Lord, for those who need to make some decisions and they're afraid to make a decision and they feel that they've lacked courage to go and speak to that boss about bullying. Lord, the people who've lost courage to go to the doctors or whatever area, Lord, I pray that you'll give us the courage to say yes to you. And Lord, would you put the sacks of strength on us just now? And I hope you hear my heart. I'm praying this once and I begin, it will start. For some people, this may be the complete breakthrough. But I'm telling you, I prayed this 3-4 months every single day. And I got back to the center. We sang Jesus Be the Center. I got back to what this is all about. Ministry wasn't about people or churches. It was about Jesus. And to get back and to say, I'm in a cave, Lord. And I kept praying it. And I can't tell you there was one day or one Wednesday for me. You may have an absolute breakout moment. For me, it was consistently praying this stuff. And I suddenly realized, wow, life is sweet again. Lord, I pray for Gordon today as he's ministering, Lord, in Bathgate. I just pray as he's probably heading his way back now. I just pray, Lord, you'll bless him and Heather. I pray for the elders of the church, the leaders of this church. And I pray as this year comes to an end, that the destiny that's over the capital city of Glasgow and the plan that you have of Glasgow, sorry, I'm saying Glasgow, of Scotland, I'm just praying, Lord, in Jesus' name, that Scotland will be blessed as a result of this church in Edinburgh. And I just pray, Lord, next year will be a breakout, breakthrough year. Lord, that we'll see amazing things happen, but we'll always remember, we're the amateur, you're the professional. So seal your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think there's a song we're going to sing to end with. Alvin, don't let me do your job for you. Come on down. You know, I'll gladly pray with anybody afterwards who wants a specific prayer, but you're on a journey. And I tell you, this works, because it's changed my life. Don't forget to have a look at the books. God bless you. Thank you, band. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you for that, Kevin. It's an awesome word. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sure you all felt blessed by that. I certainly was. Really, really, really good sermon. I'll pass it over to Luke to give us the final song. Basically, you can use this song to just reflect on what Pastor Kevin has talked about. Just receive that blessing, you know, tap into that blessing that Kevin is talking about and claim those blessings that are there for you. Okay, shall we stand?
We bow our hearts, we lift our hands, we turn our eyes to you again, and we surrender to the truth that all we need is found in you. Receive our adoration, Jesus, Lamb of God. Receive our adoration, how wonderful you are. We choose to leave it all behind and turn our eyes towards the prize, upward call of God in Christ. You have our hearts, Lord, take our lives. Receive our adoration, Jesus, Lamb of God. Every soul you've saved sings out, everything you've made.